Hi, everybody. I'm Scott.
Hello, I'm Julie.
And this is A Good Story is Hard to Find podcast,
where two Catholic friends talk about the books and movies they love and the traces of the one reality that lie below the surface.
Yeah. So this is episode 123.
Mm.
And we're going to talk about Millions, a movie from 2004 directed by Danny Boyle.
And it's the first movie I ever saw by Danny Boyle, and I didn't realize how unusual a director he is. He's one of those kind of like Billy Wilder in that he just picks all different subjects and does movies about them.
Yeah, I was so surprised when I looked at his list of, he's got 26 directing credits, and in there are things like Slumdog Millionaire and Trainspotting.
Yeah.
And 28 Days Later, a zombie movie.
Yes.
And then a science fiction film that now I cannot wait to see because I haven't, called Sunshine.
That one, I'm going to be curious to hear what you think about it. Joseph Cizanka and I have had conversations about that.
Okay.
Because it's really a horror movie, and it's the slowest, dreamiest horror movie you've ever seen that it's... We both agree, is as a horror movie, it's kind of unsatisfactory, but yet it comes back to me over and over. Some of the imagery and the music, it haunts me.
Hmm.
It's amazing that way.
Great.
Okay, so I'll be really curious to what you think of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he did 127 Hours, which was the movie with, wasn't that James Franco with the...
In Moab, Utah, I think.
Yeah, the guy who had to cut his hand off or whatever it was to get out from under the boulder.
Yeah, and then his most recent is Steve Jobs. He directed Steve Jobs. Fascinating.
Yeah, and he's such an interesting director for that very reason, is that he's so, he'll just pick anything. You know, you can't typecast him really that way. And this movie was so unique because also evidently the screenwriter is known for kind of really edgy stuff. And the fact that he wrote this was inspired by seeing an interview with Martin Scorsese, where Scorsese said that he was reading a book of the saints. And he said he'd, it was one of his favorite books growing up, called 6 o'clock Saints, the one that's Damien's favorite book.
Right. Yeah.
And it gave him a wider understanding of the human experience than had been revealed to him as a child. And so he started thinking about that and going, well, what would that mean if you're a kid, you're reading this book? And this movie grew from that.
Hmm. Wow. I like that. That's
neat. Yeah. So it's because for a movie that's not by Christians or really about Christians, it's got so much in it that you would think is a Christian movie if you didn't know.
Yeah.
But well done.
Yeah. I went into this. I don't think you mentioned the word saint when you told me just a touch about it.
Yep.
But I had no idea. Popped it in and was just enthralled immediately.
Oh, good.
It was really, really great movie.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just...
Makes me happy just thinking about it. It's good.
Well, and the talent in it is just top-notch. They all hit their marks perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so creatively shown and edited that it's got saints galore, but they're handled in such a real-world way.
Yeah.
So I guess the essential story is basically there's a family. The mother has just died. It's two boys and a father. The father has just moved them to a new neighborhood and a new house. He's a working class guy, but they've been barely able to afford this, you find out. And the littlest boy, they're 8 and 10, Damien and Anthony. The littlest boy takes, the boxes for moving, like the refrigerator box and the washing machine box. And he builds himself a little fort down by the train tracks in a field or on the side of a hill. And he one day is out there and a huge bag of money comes from nowhere, essentially, and squashes his fort. and it's 226,000 pounds or something, an incredible amount of money. He shows his brother, who is a lot more cynical than he is. And the brother says, don't tell Dad. They'll take it all for taxes. And so they each start spending the money in their own way. And Damien, who intensely misses his mother and was really into this Saints book, and evidently his mother fostered that, he has visions of saints, and he wants to be good. So he starts giving money to the poor. His brother uses the money in a different way. And eventually more people find out about it. And I would say that the money becomes a litmus test to show who each person is and the effect it can have. And although the movie is really way underneath about everybody dealing with the loss of this beloved family member.
Yeah, very well put.
Does that sound?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was terrific.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the idea of the money shining a light on the character of all the people. Yeah, for a long time, it's just Damien and his brother who mm-hmm. know anything about it. But then later on in the movie, when it's revealed to the adults, you know, that does the same thing. So,
well, and even when Damien is giving money to the poor, you see in the way that the poor react to the money and what they do with it, it shines a light on them too. And I don't know how much detail we want to go into,
mm-hmm.
but at one point, I guess this is not giving too much away, there are some Mormon missionaries who live in the neighborhood. And you see them when, because it's a new neighborhood, the policeman, who is like the most ineffectual policeman you've ever seen, he has everybody around to a meeting where he says, okay, well, statistics are half of you are going to be burgled because it's Christmas and you're in a new neighborhood. So here's a police card that you can send around to the insurer. Here's our number. You can get a police card to send around to the insurance company. Not that you'll get much back. And so I just like, oh, it's just a common, calm acceptance of there's crime and we're not going to be able to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And but at some point, one of the missionaries says with this kind of, you know, this unholy or this holier than thou attitude, well, really, isn't the treasure that we build in heaven more important than any money down here? And then when they get this money that Damien just shoves through their mail slot till it's totally full. Mm-hmm. What they do is they buy a dishwasher and all this extra stuff and a foot spa. I mean, and to me, that was the thing where it was like, oh, now they're just throwing the money around, mm-hmm. having fun with it. And so they're just as human as the rest of us. They're not giving it to the poor, yeah. That kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so that's a good point. Yeah, so you have all those adults that he's doing. Yeah, that's a
yeah. Well, it's just point. The vignettes on each soul. I mean, essentially, that's you know on each person and what they do with it. And so,
very cool. You know, and I felt like the style of the movie is worth the comment too. It reminded me a little bit of Edgar Wright.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in the way you know, there's these quick cuts and. Little voiceovers while this quick cut stuff is happening.
And imaginative shots.
Yeah, really imaginative shots. And a really, the tone reminded me a little bit of Edgar Wright, too.
I wouldn't have thought of that, but that's really, yeah, that's true. Very true. It's that kind of playful touch.
Right, right.
In amongst everything.
Yeah.
And the way the house is built. The boys, you know, on their bikes,
yeah,
going through the flowers,
exactly, yeah.
and a lot of little tiny graphics, like when they're on the cell phones, they're right next to each other, and it shows the signal going up and down,
mm-hmm.
up to the sky and down to the kid that's right next to them. And
yeah, because they had so much money. That's
yeah,
funny. They each buy a phone and call each other, and can you hear me?
Well, yes, well,
yeah,
you're right there. He goes, no, on the phone.
Oh,
that as well.
Yeah, and it's funny. He says something like, well, I can see you, but not as good. And that was just like a comment. I don't know. I liked it. It was like a social commentary in a sentence.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I guess the one other element is that you find out the money actually came from a bank robbery, and so the element of danger is added because the robber who was going to retrieve that money starts sniffing around and targeting the boys, especially Damien. And again, with the special effects that just give you that whiff of what's going on in a different way, is every time he appears, there's this little hiss in the background, like it's a snake.
That's
every
cool.
time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed that.
I didn't notice that, but that's neat.
I have seen it many times. I had the advantage on that.
That's cool. Did he do other things like that with other characters?
Not that I remember.
Okay. Like if a saint showed up, it was... There was kind of a surreal feel when the saints were there. it's almost like, you know, you could foresee that they were going to appear. But I couldn't tell you why. It was just something like, you know, a light or something. I don't know.
It's interesting because I never felt that way. I was still surprised, like when he goes over the hill to his fort, and there are the Ugandan martyrs all working on the fort to fix it after the bag had smashed it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the great things is he knows all the saints so well. He'll go, "Oh, the Ugandan martyrs, you know, 1237 to such and such." He always knows the dates.
Yeah.
That's the wrong date. I can't remember
which saint, you know, it was like unknown, you know.
Yeah. Well, Saint Joseph the Worker.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, so, yeah, such and so to unknown, or, you know, estimated such and so to unknown.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, that kid, he was neat.
Yeah, and you know that he's not sure if he's really seeing them, although he wholeheartedly embraces them whenever he does see them, because he's 8, his brother's 10, and I don't know if it's the difference between 8 and 10 that he is so pure and innocent, and his brother is cynical and worldly, or if that's also an enhancement of their natural characters. You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's an interesting thought. I don't know. Yeah, they're so close. It's really close.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Yeah, there's just not that much difference in their age to account for that. But
they
react differently.
Yeah, well, yeah. The brother's like, "Don't go around talking about that weird stuff. You want to fit in." And when he comes and says, "I met a poor man, let's give him the money." And the brother's like, "Did he do anything to you?" And he goes, "Like what?" And he goes, nothing. I'll take care of it." You know, so he's obviously more clued into things. And but when he's talking to Anthony at some point, he brings Anthony there to show him, or brings the money to him. And he goes, "Look at this." And he goes, "Look at all that." And he goes, "Oh, so you can see it too." And he goes, "Yeah, of course." And he says, "Well, you know, sometimes there are things that aren't there that everybody can't see." And his brother looks at him and he just fades out. So, yeah. You know, he's learned the hard way that everybody doesn't see these saints.
Right, right.
So you don't know if they're real or not.
Yeah, I think there was a moment that established them, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is.
Okay,
but,
cool.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, all right.
Yeah.
I liked it, you know. But again, I guess you could call it ambiguous, but I felt like that was a statement that...
No. Well, do you want to go into...
Sure, let's do.
Okay, so if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrific. This is going on in the pool room for sure. Because
good.
It is, yeah, it's, yeah, I'm going to buy this movie. I need to own it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and it's, you know, nobody's ever heard of it, very few. And it's a Christmas movie in that it happens around Christmas time. The focus isn't about Christmas happening just so much as it happens to be that time of year when all this is going on, mm-hmm. or, you know, when the denouement is happening.
Right, right.
In their lives. So it's one of those kind. But it's definitely a great Christmas movie.
Yeah, really good.
Good.
I love it. So cool.
It's good, like,
you
know,
because
so
you
glad.
Keep pulling these out of the, I'm just like, I don't have any idea what this is. And it was just magnificent. So
good. Well, I'm gonna run out of those eventually, so.
Well, cool. Okay.
But.
Yeah, so as far as the saints go, mm-hmm. yeah, the moment, there was a moment during the nativity play where I believe it was Peter, wasn't it? Or no, it was Joseph.
No, Joseph.
It was Joseph, of course. Yeah, they're, you know, the Damien is off. He's taken some stuff and he's walking away. He's taken, yeah, he's, well, I guess, yeah, we're in spoiler. So he's running away from the robber and he's got the money. And he's pushing this. It's just funny. He's pushing this donkey, this donkey on wheels. And it's got the saddlebags with the money in it. And he's just pushing it down the street. And he pushes it onto the train.
Because Robert is going away on the train with the donkey.
Too funny. So anyway, so clearly he's not in the play anymore, but he has lines. And everybody's trying to get him to say the next line, but he's not there. And then Joseph says the next line. And everybody reacts to that. So they're like, where did that voice come from?
Yeah, they're all like, that doesn't sound right. Well, you know what? I totally missed that clue.
Oh. And yeah, to me, that was saying, yeah, these are real.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
But the clue I was thinking of was at the very end when Anthony has finally seen his mother. And he comes, she's now gone after the final hug, and Anthony has been looking for him, and he's at the top of the hill where he could see them, and Damien comes up, and he says, did you see her? And Anthony says, yes. Mm-hmm. What did she say?
Yeah.
And so to me, that was the proof, because I thought, oh, okay, the saints see the persons who are meant to see them. You know, and or who, you know, they've got enough of a connection with. And Damien's so pure, he can see all of them. But Anthony could see his mother down there.
Yeah. So, yeah. So two of those.
A moment of grace. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why I didn't think of that with St. Joseph. That was so perfect. Well, and at the end, I love what they do, the special effects with the halos, because they're like those round gold Renaissance plates like you see in the paintings, of course, but they don't exactly, it's not like they're stiff over the person's head. They're kind of dynamic. So somebody might lean forward suddenly and the plate's like, whoa, and it catches up, you know, and kind of bobbles a little bit.
Yeah, that was well done.
And so when Joseph is leaving their house at the end of it, after the robber's been caught, the little donkey has a halo too. I don't know if he's pulling the little donkey with him everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was a nice playful moment there.
Yeah.
So
what do you think about the theological statement that God does not rob banks?
Well, yeah, that's, you know, it's, well, yeah, because people, is it Anthony who says it's not the money's fault it got robbed?
Right.
And whereas Damien instantly says, well, I thought it was from God. I thought so it was okay to give it away. Well, now we have to give it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, God does not, it's like he says, God does not rob banks.
Yeah, God does not rob banks. It, you know, it's one of those things, it makes me think a couple of things. You know, one, you know, making good out of bad and how that continues to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the old story where, you know, somebody's on the top of a roof and the water's rising and they're looking for help.
Yeah. Yeah.
And somebody says, here, get on this boat. And he's like, nope. God's going to help me. Let me just stand here. I'm going to wait, you know. And God's like, well, I sent you this guy with the boat, you know. The whole joke is like three things come by. Why didn't you help me? Yeah, why did I drown in this? Why didn't you help?
Well, I think to me it's not that one so much, because although that robbery didn't really hurt anyone, that's another one that's shown very dynamically. And yeah, it's money that's the one of the things that they thought when they shot the movie was because the European Union was being put into place. They thought that Europe was going, or England was going to adopt the euro. So part of the plot of the movie is that at the end of the year, pounds will be no good anymore. You have to have euros. So they're as pounds are being converted to euros, they're gathering up all the old pounds and they're taking them off to burn them. And so the robbery happens so that the robbers can grab those pounds and convert them themselves into euros, but they've got a limited time period. You know, they've just got a few weeks or whatever, a week or so when the robbery happens, however long the period is.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they've done is they've taken it, they've thrown it off the bend to these easy places where on the train where it can be retrieved, and this is a bag of money that wasn't retrieved. So in a sense, it's free and clear money, but I thought it was interesting watching Damien's very instinctive reaction of right and wrong. He couldn't explain why necessarily, but he's like, oh, well, then if it's been robbed, then we have to give it back. And everybody started saying, well, they'll just burn it. And he's like, it's not ours. It's not really our money.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really interesting. So he is, you know, have these clear statements of right and wrong. And in a way, you know, he's not arguable. You know, it's like he has these statements and it's just like, well, you might be right, but, you know, but well, what about this? You know, we can burn this and all
when
that.
When the
you
father know, finds hurting? Out, yeah, when the father finds out, the father says originally, he's very, you know, he's oh, well, we're going to give it back. It's not ours. We'll give it to the authorities. And then they drive up to their house and they've been robbed. He's like, well, that's it. I'm spending the money. And Damien's like, whoa, 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 that is wrong. And he says, look, you know, I am owed. I work every minute God gives me, he says, to pay the mortgage and feed us and clothe us. And now my wife's dead, or maybe that's implied. But, you know, it's like I've been dealt a raw hand and this money is owed me. And Damien just keeps going, it's wrong. And he's like, I don't care. Shut up. We're doing this.
Yeah.
And I liked that moment because it made me think about the idea of we can all have these wonderful ideals, but until they're put to the test, we don't know how firm they really are.
Absolutely true. Yeah. And it made me think a little bit about, you know, Damien as a saint, but also as a child, you know, how they say, you know, you need to be as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he doesn't have the life experience that's put him in the place that his dad is.
Yeah.
You know, to where his dad is like, you know, this is really going to help us. And, you know, his dad's definitely got to see it as a good, you know. But Damien has the clear, you know, this is not good. And, you know, even though he may not be able to express exactly why he has that feeling, and it turns out that Damien's the right one.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Well, and when, and think about it, though, at the very end of the money, all three of the others have held out some of the euros that were converted.
Mm-hmm.
5,000, 6,000, 11,000, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then he talks about, here's what, so Dad wanted to pay off the bills, Dorothy wanted to do this, Anthony wanted this huge list of stuff. And he goes, but in the end, they did what Damien wanted, which was build a well for an African village.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's, cool. Yeah, there's that idea too of we can have all this stuff. Because another thread going through the movie is they meet I guess she's like a charity worker type person. But she's trying to raise money because they can feed poor African families, you know, with 10 pounds. They can feed them for a week with more money, not a significant amount more. But, I mean, enough more money, they can then have a well in places where they don't have water. And the Ugandan martyrs have talked about that, too, how desperate the need for water is.
Yeah. And so and that starts, how little it would cost to help. Right.
Yeah, so that starts to become a thread of what do you do for your fellow man? Damien's like, oh, you're poor, you're begging, you're poor, come on. And he feeds everybody at Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
You know, he's feeding the poor. He's giving money to the missionaries. He's giving the money to her. He gives her too much, and that's how they get discovered by the father. Or is that – maybe that's not it. But anyway –
Yeah, well, that's the first inkling that he's got for
so,
sure.
Anyhow, so he's trying, and he goes, well, I was trying to give it away, but it's really hard, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that is interesting. You know, he's always asking everybody, are you poor? Are you poor? And Anthony has sort of the adult reaction, right, when he's gathering all these homeless people that start following him to the Pizza Hut. And Anthony is like, these people are going to take advantage of you. And they kind of do, you know, demanding more, you know, we want dessert and we want this and yeah. that, you know. So, you know, Anthony is definitely more cynical and more worldly. And,
yeah, because Anthony's using his money to buy popularity.
Yeah, buy popularity.
The next time you see him, he is looking super cool. They've all got their sunglasses. He's got his posse with him. And he's big man on campus, essentially. That's right. As much as a 10-year-old can be.
Yeah. And then all the while, you know, you could feel the reaction to his mother's death. Both of them, right? I mean, Damien is clearly grieving. But Anthony, who pretends that he's not, you know, uses the, you know, oh, my mother, you know, my mom's dead. So, you know, we get free candy if we say that. He starts to use that. But he's clearly upset by it. And I like how it was played because it's under the surface. You know,
yeah,
it just keeps coming up. And so, you know, that he's thinking about it all the time.
The only time it bubbles up really is in terms of his anger and grief is when Damien says, isn't this like stealing? And he goes, our mom's really dead, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
We're, you know, and it's kind of that same feeling I'm thinking just now as the father going, I'm owed this. Yeah. You know, I'm super unhappy over this, so I'm going to sublimate my grief with something else because this is the only way I can cope.
Right. So Anthony's coping and he's, you know, maybe grown up a little too fast. But yet I liked, you know, I guess my point was I liked how it was under the surface. You could tell, you know, he was acting tough and he was acting all this way, but you could tell it just because it kept coming up. I felt like he was thinking about it constantly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I've just liked, I very much liked how they did that.
No, I thought it was great. And, of course, this is the thing that's so great about this movie is most of these things, as you say, are under the surface. They're never really spelled out. You're left to discover it because the way a lot of movies would do it is Damien would be reacting to something and talk about it or point it out or somebody else would point something out about Damien, which would contrast it. And instead what they do is just let everybody go through their little circles. The money is the genesis for people all reacting to the same thing essentially. But you get to see the father's grief, the new girlfriend coming in who is sympathetic to everyone and nice, but she doesn't share that. She's kind of a side character because of that. It's really the three of them that everything focuses on. And the interesting thing is Damien's not judging. Well, he is at one point where he's like, it's wrong about the money, but he's not judging them or worrying or even understanding why they do a lot of what they do. He's just trying to do what's right. Just it comes naturally to him. And so he doesn't worry about that. And he doesn't understand their motivations. He's just going along trying to give money away. Or when they talk about who's your hero and all these kids are naming sports figures.
Manchester United.
The teacher says, doesn't anyone have somebody who doesn't play football or whatever? And so he stands up and is like, oh, Saint so-and-so. You know, or there's St. Agatha, whose eyes were put out, or St. Catherine, who was on a big wheel, and instead it blew to bits and blinded everyone. And the teacher's like, what? Hold on.
Yeah, I said thank you. Yeah, thank you. Sit down. Yeah. Oh, man.
That's enough.
That's right. Yeah, it's just so innocent. I mean, it's played so well. And again, you know, I just keep returning to the thought that, you know, Damien was a saint. You know, like, you know, all this stuff just came to him naturally, like you said. He was absolutely certain. He couldn't explain why he was certain, but he knew what was wrong and what was right just by instinct alone. And I think he was always right. I don't know that he was wrong at any time.
No, he was right. And I was talking about this with somebody just the other day who made the point that we were talking about Anthony and Damien, and they made the point, they said, yeah, he's pure for now, which I thought was an interesting comment because I thought, wow, you think of him as always being pure, but the whole point of saints is they're not exempt. When he gets older, money wasn't a temptation for him. He's going to hit other things that are temptations, And then he'll have to see what he's really made of. But this is like preparation for being a saint.
Yeah, there was a scene that kind of supports that. But, you know, I don't know. Well, there was a scene where his brother is looking on the internet and he's looking at women in bras, right?
Yeah.
So his brother leaves the room and Damien sits down and continues to look. And you kind of get the feeling like, oh, well, maybe this is the beginning of corruption, let's say.
Oh, do you think so?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that the point of it? Or is the point of it is that he wasn't? But him, it was a pure thing still.
Right, because the brother said, because the brother's at that point where he's beginning to, he's going to struggle with that stuff too, right? He's looking at the lingerie website. And he goes, look, you can see it. And he's pointing, what is that? It's a nipple. And he says, what's it for? And the brother just looks at him because the brother doesn't know why it's exciting either. That's his innocence. And he goes, well, it's for feeding babies. And they have a discussion about how the brother remembers Damien being fed that way. And so when I felt like when Damien was looking at it, he was just thinking about his mother again. She fed me like this. Because that's the only frame of reference he's got for it. I know that I had been really pushing this movie to everybody when it was at the theater and I had seen it. And this friend of mine who's got a large family took all her kids who would understand it. And she said they got to that part and she's like, oh, no, oh, no. And she went, wait, Julie would have told me. She's like, and she loved it because she said it was such an innocent moment. It showed both the brothers' innocence. The one brother is trying to push it, but he doesn't even really understand why that's titillating, so to speak. So, but the thing is, yeah, I think in the movie, you're never really given an idea of when Damien hits that point where he's more tempted or whatever. Mm-hmm. And maybe what this does, I mean, I think I just heard the story of on Catholic Bites. I was listening to them talking about St. Catherine of Siena when she was, I didn't realize this, when she was 6 or 7 was when she decided that she wanted to be a virgin, consecrated to God. And her parents let her do it. And I'm thinking, is that pure soul? It doesn't mean that she didn't have temptation along the way, because we all do. Even Jesus had that. But it's that idea of the pure soul that knows early. It's got that connection to God and to wanting to do the right thing. And Damien's connection, of course, is his mother, because one of the sweet things is he asks every saint he sees, have you seen the Saint Maureen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like St. Clair goes, oh, it's bloody infinite up there. You have no idea. She's probably there, but I haven't seen her.
Oh, man. That's too funny. Yeah. And St. Therese, right? The little flower. She was just very young. Catherine of Siena. She was really young when she, in fact, didn't she go get a special dispensation to let her in a convent before she was of age?
The Pope. She was 15.
Yeah, but she wanted in even before that. It was You know, she had waited a long time to 15 even.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah,
and you understand why they were like, well, no, you better wait. Mm-hmm. But it's that idea of she knew what she wanted.
Right.
And what I don't know if you've ever read The Story of a Soul, but to me, the most interesting part was the last half where she's, you know, trying to get in. And then she's talking about life in the convent and her struggles. You know, maybe Damien's struggles were like this. I mean, her struggles would be with the nun who continually tapped her pencil all the time, and it was driving her up the wall, but she's like, I'm not even going to say anything. Or some other nun who she just couldn't stand for some reason. So she always made the extra effort to try to see Jesus in her. And even, you know, she's like, I'm not feeling it, but I'll do it. And finally that person came up to her one time and said, what is it about me that you like? And she went, what? And she said, well, you always give me such a special smile. You make me feel so loved. What is it about me that attracts you? And she's like, oh, it's, you know. So it's her struggles were real, mm-hmm. because she was going extra to do what she could for the people around her.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
But I love that. Also, this is something I just noticed this time that I can think of is St. Clair's the first saint we see him talking to, and she's in his little box.
Right. Yeah.
And she's like, he's like, you can smoke up there. And Bloody, of course, is like using the F word here. So she's smoking. She's cursing. I mean, not in a bad way, just as a natural part of sitting there talking to him. And she saw, oh, you can do what you like up there. It's down here. You have to make an effort. And right after that is when the money shows up. It bounces into the house.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, here's one of the things that's the effort that has to be made.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with it?
Yeah. Yeah, St. Clair was pretty funny stuff.
She sets a good tone.
Yeah.
And she's like the,
with the, okay. the saint of television, right?
Yeah.
Keeps her very busy, she said.
Right. I don't have time to deal with it, so I just send them a vision. Sort them out.
Sort them out.
Sort them out. Well, a lot of the little details like St. Peter. It's like, I'm on the door up there, you know, yeah, point of pride. And then he stops mid-sentence and checks out the key to the old house that's on Damien's bed table.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, such and so. Okay. Because he's the patron saint of locks and keys.
Right, right.
The theology isn't always what Catholic, you know, strict Catholic teachings would say. Like when St. Peter, he takes kind of a revisionist look at the loaves and fishes.
Yeah, I did notice that as well.
He's
like, oh, there wasn't really a miracle there. It was everybody brought their own food. And I have heard that before, you know.
Yeah.
Not as a Catholic doctrine, but as something I was like, what?
Yeah, exactly. It's and my problem is I have trouble rejecting those because I came across them very early in after I became Christian. And another one was the jars of wine at Cana.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus changes water into wine. He said, oh, well, these would have been used for wine all the time. And he had them put water in and they would have absorbed the wine that was in the jar. And I bought that for a long time until I realized, wait a minute, this would have been red wine. That was not going to cut it for this is the best wine I've ever tasted. You saved the best for last. But the problem is once that idea has been lodged in there, it keeps popping up and I keep having to go, no, that's not right. But it is used in the movie to good effect in terms of talking about generosity and the difference people make in their spheres of influence. A little boy and his family, the little boy with the loaves and fishes. And they're like, it wasn't a miracle. And then I saw it was a miracle. And I'm like, no, that's not a miracle. It's a good thing. But and these are the things we do for each other, which is kind of the point of the movie, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I like what you just said about, you know, spheres of influence and how they use that for that effect anyway. So, but yeah, that's another probably theme of the movie too is, you know, a person affecting his or her environment as Damien does, right?
Yeah.
You know, Damien's a positive influence everywhere he goes and it affects people. And that's a good
thing. They find it annoying.
They do, some of them, right, but...
A lot of the time, I mean, because it gets in the way of what they want.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I still like it, though.
No, and it kind of brings up the whole idea of how, when you give to charity, how do you approach it? Because when I talk about giving to charity to people, you've got two kinds of people. One just says, you just give.
Mm-hmm.
The other kind says, like, yeah, I don't know about where you are, but here, until they passed some various laws, there were people on every street corner begging.
Hmm.
And I got kind of upset when they passed laws about, well, the police can take them away because we don't like to see that. And I was like, but this is a reflection of reality. Whether they're begging for real or not, this is what's going on one level of society and you're sanitizing it. But anyway, so... The question, and this came up after I'd gone on that chirp retreat, so pretty early on was in my Catholic life, was do you just give to them or do you give to a good charity like the Stew Pot or, you know, some shelter downtown and then give them a card and go here and you can get a meal and a bed and because you don't know who's scamming you, who's taking the money and using it for drugs, who's really needy. Do you have a philosophy about that?
Yeah. You asked, you know, how it is where I live. Well, I've always lived in, you know, Idaho and Utah and Tucson for a while when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most of the time, you know, like in the town that I live, you know, we've got, you know, what, half a foot of snow out there right now. You're not going to have a lot of people hanging out here on street corners and things.
Yeah.
So I haven't grown up with a lot of that, but mm-hmm. there always has been some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's almost like a case by case thing. I think that if I had a philosophy, it would be that I would give to a charity like what you call the Stew Pot, mm-hmm. To give money to that and to the church, right? Because mm-hmm. our church, you know, people show up there when they're in need. And they have, you know, ways to help. So that would be my general philosophy. But that doesn't mean that there are times when, you know, someone approaches me and I give them money. I mean, that does happen too. I don't always say no, but sometimes I do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I walk on by.
I was always very conflicted.
Mm-hmm. And it is a conflicting thing. It's, I don't know how I decide yes or no, but sometimes I do it and sometimes I don't.
What decided me, and I guess I need to rerun this post. I haven't run it for a really long time. This is a time of year for it. Cause I also give to St. Vincent de Paul, which is a charitable organization, Catholic Charities. And, of course our diocese will have, fundraising for helping with various things and the parish, and we have our local poor box and we give to various appeals. But when you're greeted face to face with someone, I would go back and forth. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling charitable. Here you go. I'm feeling cynical. No, thank you. And so I finally read a quote by St. John Vianney. And of course, I did not look it up before now, but he basically said, it's not your job to judge the other person's intention. That's on what they do with it is on them. It's you're not there to safeguard them from whatever they might do with it. Your job is to take advantage of the opportunity that God gave you to improve yourself by performing this act of charity. And I was like, wow. And somehow that really struck me and I internalized it. And I tend not to have much cash on me ever, because if I have it, I spend it. So, what I did start doing was carrying granola bars in the car and in the summer, especially little bottles of water.
That's a good idea.
And it was like, this is something I can give you. It's not going to spoil, but it's a basic need. And yes, I'm qualifying giving my money or not giving my money. But like I said, I often don't have anything. And so sometimes you give that out. Everybody always acts grateful. Sometimes you give it out and in the rearview mirror, you see them kind of tossing it to one side. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're carefully putting it away. But I'll never forget the time when I was at the gas station and a woman came up to me and she was, I'm so hungry. And if you have anything, and I gave her, I had three packages of granola bars left and I gave her all of them. And as she was turning away, she was tearing them open and shoving them in her mouth.
Mm.
And I was like, wow. Okay, I was so glad I had that. And, it made an impression on me.
Hmm.
I can't tell who's grifting me and who isn't. And I guess what John Vianney did is set me free from feeling like it's a judgment on me for if I'm savvy or not. Because if you feel like someone's cheated you, like, I'm stupid, they got me. That's not the point. The point is we should be more like Damien in that and not worry about them. Are we doing what we're supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
To me.
As you mentioned gas station, I have a gas station memory too, but it's negative. I remember I was filling up my gas station one time in Pocatello, Idaho, and a guy came up to me and he asked me for money, and I said no. And he turned around and he walked away, and he looked at me as he walked away, and it went all the way like into my soul.
Oh.
I was like, that was a missed opportunity, you know. But it was affecting.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh boy, I should have done that differently. You know.
Yeah.
But it was searing.
Well, and I think it's funny because right before the big, I'd forgotten about this one memory, that on a street corner right before the church meeting where we were all talking about charity, and there were people who work social services and that kind of thing. So they were adamantly arguing for, you've got to make them go to these places. I'm like, you can't make them go anywhere. But I was pulling up to, it was like a four lane road, or I mean, four on each side. So it's a big road. And I was pulling up in a middle lane. And as I was coming up this hill, there was this guy leaning against this lamppost, and he had long hair. And I don't even remember what he was wearing, but it was all kind of golden brown, like his hair was. And he had a beard, and he looked at me as I was coming up the hill, a far enough distance away that I looked at him, and he looked me right in the eye and gave this smile like, hey, pal, like he knew me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an amused, friendly smile, like, hello. And I was like, whoa. And so I'm parked like a couple, three cars back, and I look up, and he's walking not to any other car, but over to mine in the middle of traffic at the light. And so I'm looking in my purse going, I guess I have to give him something. And so I just slap the bill in his hand, and I don't even look him in the face. And he's like, you know, God bless you. And I'm like, okay. And I put my window up, and then I look behind me to see, because he kind of walks behind the car at that point, and there's a gas station and Quickie Mart kind of thing over there. So I'm like, oh, he'll get something to eat. And I can't see him.
Hmm.
And I should have been able to see him through the cars around me.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And when I was telling that to, I didn't bring that up when we were having this big discussion, but it really stuck with me. And a friend said, yeah, we never know what opportunities we're missing for ourselves, which was then echoed by the John Vianney thing.
Yeah.
And he certainly could have been there and I just didn't see him. But coupled with that look of, I'm not kidding, it's like if you saw one of your kids or a good friend who there's that look in their eyes. I can't even clearly describe it. It was the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there are times when, you know, somebody, oh, I'm a college student and I'm from Fort Worth and we're out of gas money. And so you feel good about giving them that $20. Oh, thank you. Thank you. And then you come out of the store an hour later and they're doing it to somebody else. And I'm like, oh, so mad at myself, because I got taken. And then I was like, nope, that's not the point.
Yeah, yeah. And I've got taken too. I remember there was a charity in Tucson, and I fell for a thing, and I gave him some money, and I didn't have a lot of money to give. I was a college student, and found out that it was a scam, and I was like, oh, I was upset.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then that affects everything else. Now everything's a scam.
Mm-hmm.
Right now you think, oh, nothing's, you know, these guys are probably all taking money.
And right.
You stop giving for a while, which is the wrong reaction.
Well, it's just one of those things we all have to struggle with.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not saying that those other organizations aren't perfectly good and worthy and definitely needed. And if you can get people to go there, they'll get better help. But no one can make people do what they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to meet each person in your life where you are and where they are. And those people are in your life at that moment. So you have to deal with it.
Hmm.
You know?
Good point. Yeah. All from Damien's Millions.
I know.
See, but this is what makes this movie so great. I mean, it gives, makes you think about this stuff. That's what makes movies great, period.
Yeah. The power of story.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is such a delightful movie. I mean, it's just, it's just so great. And it works on so many levels. I mean, you can easily watch this with kids, but it's perfect for adults too. Mm-hmm. It's one that was really critically acclaimed when it came out. I mean, Roger
gave it
4 stars and called it, you know, it was one of his top 10 movies of 2005, I guess.
Oh, was it really? Oh, good yeah. for him. I didn't look that up.
Yeah, he absolutely loved it.
It was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just says, one thing he said was that he was kind of marveling that Danny Boyle and this screenwriter, the screenwriter wrote Hillary and Jackie and 24 Hour People and Party People, and it's probably gone on to write other things, but he's like, what are these two doing making a sunny film about kids? I don't require an answer for that because their delight in the film is so manifest, but they are serious filmmakers who do not know how to talk down to an audience. And although Millions uses special effects and materializing saints, it's a film about real ideas, real issues, and real kids. It's not sanitized, brainless eye candy. Like all great family movies, it plays equally well for adults. Maybe better, since we know how unusual it is.
Hmm.
And he's the one who said the money, you know, the idea of getting this cash isn't a new idea, a money windfall. He says, but using the money as a device for the brothers to find out how the world works and what's important to them is what makes it work. Hmm. So, anyway.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, lots of people loved this movie. And if you look it up, you'll see there are people saying, here's a 30-year-old movie nobody knows, and everybody should be watching this instead of Elf at Christmas time.
No question.
Yeah.
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 Let's see. It's only 10 years old. 11 years old.
Okay. I was exaggerating.
No, I just want to make sure.
Right, 30 years old. That's crazy. Yeah,
you've watched the right one.
That's way too long ago.
Yeah.
Thank you for that fact.
Mr. Fact Checker. I can ruin any moment.
I kind of could exaggerate. Yeah. Hyperbole is my thing. So.
I love it. But you're absolutely right. This is a movie that I'll be watching all the time. I don't even know if I'd wait for Christmas on this one. I'm a pretty strict, you know, Christmas movie at Christmas mm-hmm. time guy. You know, you don't watch White Christmas at any time other than Christmas time.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Which I saw for the first time. I've never seen it before until this year.
Oh.
And I watched it, I don't know, it was a couple weeks ago.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. Oh, it was okay. There was a lot of cheesy stuff in there.
Yeah.
But I love Danny Kaye. You can't not get around that. I just love
I guess
that
that's so. It's yeah. It's okay to me because I had discovered Holiday Inn first, and to me that is such a charming, wonderful movie that Holiday Inn was just like a cheap imitation of it. But that's my experience of it. So
gotcha. And I don't even know
what
that
Holiday
one is.
Inn?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, holy moly! That's the next one you need to see. It's Bing Crosby, Fred Astaire. It's like New Year's and they're performers and friends like the way they always are in these great movies. Mm-hmm. And Bing Crosby wants to get away from it all. I think he's tired of the rat race. And so he buys this broken down in Connecticut or somewhere that's out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only going to open
it
on
like
holidays.
The same movie. Keep going.
It's White Christmas was remade from Holiday Inn.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding.
Okay.
And that's and when you watch Holiday Inn, you'll understand at least you may still love White Christmas, totally legitimate. But that's why, because I came to the second one after the first one, I went, why did they remake this?
Wow.
This is not as good.
Mm-hmm.
So I love seeing Fred Astaire play the bad guy, you know, and he and Bing Crosby, you know, playing these tricks on each other to try to win the girl because there's just one girl, really. Anyway.
Very nice. Okay.
So, this movie came out in midsummer, actually.
Okay.
So it's not technically
a
Christmas movie. I picked it because there's a lot of Christmas stuff in it. I don't think of it as a Christmas movie, really. But to me, it edges in there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know.
You bet. Well, cool. Yeah. Definitely a keeper.
Like I'm so glad.
Thumbs up. Again. Well, wow. Well, I don't know if you're aware, but this wraps up our fourth year.
Wow.
Of doing this podcast.
4 years?
Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think you're right. Gosh, if we're at 100 and something, it has to be.
Yeah, where are we at? I'm saying, okay, let me go back here.
What episode is this? 120 or 30 something? Yeah. 120 something, I guess. That's right. Is that 100, right?
123.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah. Our first episode was January 5th, 2011.
Holy moly. It's real, people. It happened.
No, that means that this is our fifth year, doesn't it?
Well, we're starting the fifth year. 2016, right? Okay, 11, we'll start the 12, fifth year.
13, 14. No, we're our fifth.
You our said sixth. 2011 is when we started.
Yeah, 2011. So we did all of 2011, all of 12, all of 13, all of 14, and now all of 15. That's 5 years.
Wait a minute.
Because, yeah.
Hold on.
We're going to have to edit this out if it's not so.
Or not. Whatever.
Or not, right.
15 minus 11 is 4 the last time I counted. But you're right. It's a whole year. That's why
we're
saying
16. Yeah, but year. Right. We're going to start 16. So 16 minus 11 is 5. Whatever.
Okay. I don't know. I can't 11, trust 12, arithmetic 13, anymore. 14, my arithmetic 15. Is very simple. Yeah.
So, no, we've been doing this for 5 years. It's unbelievable.
Holy moly.
But wow. It's
a good
been
5
great.
Years, though.
Yes, it's been wonderful. Absolutely.
I've loved it so much. I mean, I would never have read Endurance.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, there's lists of books that I wouldn't have read, movies I wouldn't have seen.
Yeah.
Conversations I never would have had.
Oh, yeah. So, Contact, come on.
Yeah. The pinnacle of the podcast today.
It was a pinnacle. It was a pinnacle. I just can go back and look at that one.
They're going to remake that with Carl Urban.
Well, then it might be good.
I love it.
Well, so what are we going to do for next year?
I don't know. Let's do another year.
I guess we have a special guest.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we're going to open up with a special guest.
We had a special. We liked having a special guest so much for episode 100. We thought we'd try to see if we could do it again for this starting next year.
We're going
to
open our year with that. So
it'll be a surprise.
I'm excited. You bet. So we'll be back. January 12th with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit of a break.
Yeah, just a little bit of one, and then on to more wonderful things. I just can't believe how we can have talked about so many great things, and I still have pages of movies and books that for us to talk about.
Excellent.
I guess, as we've said before, a good story might not be quite that hard to find.
That's right. We're finding a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
123 of them so far.
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah, mostly. Okay, 122. Yeah.
Well, there have even been one or two, I think, where you've gone, well, I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. Yeah. But, you know,
sure. Yeah, you bet.
It's all objective. It or is. Subjective. Sorry, subjective.
Subjective, right.
Yeah.
But wonderful. So thank you very, very much for doing this with me.
Oh, thank you. It's, you know, it's just, it's great on a lot of levels.
Mm-hmm.
I really love it. So it was a great idea when I decided you were never going to do this podcast if somebody didn't help you. I'm so glad to be part of it.
Heck yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
So cool. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a Merry Christmas.
We don't know what's going to be next. So you guys just take the time off.
Mm-hmm.
Don't read or watch anything that's been assigned, essentially. Just have fun.
That's right. Let us know what you're reading. That would be fun.
Hey, that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
What you're reading and watching.
Yep, you bet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Have
Merry
a
Christmas.
Wonderful Christmas and a great New Year.
And a happy New Year.
Okay. Bye-bye.